Welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. My name is Phil Strum. So glad you're here with me today. My guest today is a stalwart in the pro wrestling scene, especially in the New York area, but especially now in AEW as the manager of Swerve Strickland. It's Prince Nana. Prince Nana will be leading Swerve Strickland into action at AEW Dynasty when he challenges Samoa Joe for the AEW Championship. That's happening on Sunday night in St. Louis on pay-per-view, Bleacher Report, Trailer Plus, all that good stuff. Prince Nana has an extremely unique journey in pro wrestling that's dated back well over 25 years, despite the fact that he's still a very young man. He started very young under the tutelage of unpredictable Johnny Rods, and just has such a journey through Ring of Honor, through ECWA, and all the way now to being as big as he is with the Swerve Dance, with Swerve Strickland. So here we go with my interview with the very unique Prince Nana. So honored to be joined by a leader of the Mogul Embassy and the proprietor of the embassy, the one and only, the great Prince Nana. Nana, how are you doing today? Welcome.
I'm good, Phil. How are you, my friends? Good to be on the show finally, here on Under the Ring with USA Today.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to this.
I have to correct you, all right? Yes, I'm the proprietor of the embassy, all right? But Swerve Strickland, all right? He is the boss of the Mogul Embassy, all right? I am his second, all right, partner, all right? I'm a partner in the Mogul Embassy, but he is the person running the show. I just needed to correct you on that. But yes, I'm the creator of the embassy, all right? The brand that everyone has known and loved for the last 20 years, Phil, all right? Yep. You almost had it.
Very good. Good to know. Always good to be corrected and get a clarification out there. So Swerve Strickland once again challenges Samoa Joe for the AEW Championship, AEW Dynasty Saturday in St. Louis. What has it been like for you to see?
It's on Sunday.
Sunday in St. Louis. Whoops. Yeah. What's it been like for you to see the rise of Swerve and see this rivalry develop from the position you're in?
Swerve Strickland is a person that I've known his whole career. I remember meeting him way back in the 2000s on the independent circuits out in the New York and New Jersey area. And he was a young kid who was basically under the learning tree of a lot of guys like myself, Loki, Samoa Joe, a whole bunch of guys. He was under that learning tree over the years with different promotions, as you know, Lucha Underground, all right, MLW, a few other companies, and ultimately, which led him to his you know, experience for that WWE, and right now with AEW and the Mogul Embassy. So it's an unbelievable rise, and it wasn't a malicious rise. He earned everything that he's gotten to get where he is today.
What are your thoughts on that match with Samoa Joe?
This coming Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be brutal. I'm going to be, you know, just like everyone else, kind of trying to dissect what exactly is going to happen. But as you can see, I'm all grayed out, all right? I've been unable to, you know, get a haircut because we've been working really hard behind the scenes to make sure that everything is in place for one of the biggest matches in the history, all right, of AEW, all right? Potentially, Swerve is going to be the first African-American world champion at AEW, and to try and take that from Samoa Joe, who is a killer, all right, who is a killer when it comes to what he does in that ring, trust me, we've been working 24-7 to make sure that everything is right and that he's there physically, mentally, and spiritually as well.
Very good. What is it like for you to be an overnight sensation on national TV over 25 years into your career in pro wrestling? What comes to mind when you think of where you've been and where you are now in pro wrestling?
It's a blessing. It's a blessing, but it's also a example that I would like for, you know, a lot of younger people who are out there, and even older people who are out there trying to manifest something in their life that is special in their dreams. You know, dreams can become reality. And if there's anyone who's a great example of that, it's me. I just was following my dreams without being, you know, stupid about it. I made sure I had, you know, other streams of income coming in, making sure that I had other, you know, opportunities that were there. But I always kept focused what the main goal was, and that was to be a leader in the industry of professional wrestling and entertainment in general.
How and why did you start doing the dance associated with the song Big Pressure?
Oh, they started throwing more money in my bank account. So I said, hey, once the money started coming even more than the money was there, the dance had to just come out. And I was in my hotel room. I put on, you know, the live, I think Instagram live, and I just started doing the dance to the song. It came naturally. And then it became a viral sensation fest virally. And then, one of my good friends, Tony Storm and Nyla Rose, shout out to Nyla Rose and Tony Storm and a few other people, you know, Anthony Bowens, they were like, listen, you better go out there and you better do your thing and throw those hips out, my friend. And that's what I basically did. And the rest is history. And there you go, my friend. And it's a Brooklyn thing. It's a Brooklyn thing. That dance, you know, hey, you know, if you're from the Brooklyn, New York area, you know what it's all about. So I integrated a lot of things that I already knew.
That's awesome. I'm not from Brooklyn, but I do have family in Brooklyn, but I am a New Yorker. So
let's hope they don't live in Brownsville. Okay, next.
Nice. Next. What did you think of the fans' reaction to it? Because obviously you said it went viral, but also like anytime you're in an arena in AEW, that song comes on and just everybody goes crazy.
They go bananas. The song went, I believe, platinum now with YouTube, you know, and they're about to go diamond. So shout out to Flash Garments. All right, Flash, I see you, my friend. I see you. All right. Cut the check. All right, and big shout out to Swell for, and also the producer who produced the track. I'm forgetting his name now, but it'll come to me later on. Shout out to those guys. I think it's probably, I'll find his name.
What, one more musical note I needed to ask you about. Can you tell me about the first time that We're in the Money made it into your delivery?
I believe it was in Atlanta. We were in Atlanta doing one of the pay-per-views for Ring of Honor, and I was doing a promo with my lawyer, R.D. Evans,
all right,
who works for TNA now. We were doing a promo, and Mia Yim, who works, you know, shout out to Mia Yim, all right, the beautiful and vivacious Mia Yim, all right. We were doing a promo, and I believe there was one other British wrestler, famous British wrestler who was in that promo as well, and I just hit the line. But I get that actual, you know, way of singing and stuff like that from my mother, all right? So she cracks me up every day, so I incorporate some of her material into my works. So that's, yeah, we in the money. Do, 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 do.
Thank you very much for that. So someone I know who trained with you back in the unpredictable Johnny Rods days, Hale Collins. Hale Collins actually is the one who mentioned to me yesterday.
He said,
success could not have happened to a better person.
Man. Thank you, Hale Collins.
What were those days like? And he also credited you with a lot of his training, actually, when he and Matt Stryker were at Rods, too. But what were those days like training with a respected veteran like Rods and kind of making your way in the Northeast independent wrestling scene? And when did you feel most comfortable as you, as your persona?
That's a good question. I never really got that question like that. But I started wrestling when I was, 15. And when I was in school, I wasn't really into sports, even though I participated. I wasn't one of those kids who didn't participate when we were doing activities and stuff like that. But I never really was into basketball fully. I was never into football fully. But I had gotten into wrestling, especially after watching WrestleMania 8. And being a youngster at 15 years old, training with grown men like Devon Dudley is one of my trainers, and obviously Johnny Rods and Big Vito and the Spanish Angel, and then one of my good friends, Fabian, Mr. Fabian Street. You know, it was rough. Those guys beat the living heck out of me. And I give a lot of credit to my Boricua trainer, Mr. Fabian Street, for pulling me into the ring and pulling me aside to not only train me as a professional wrestler, but also to train me as a fighter. Because I knew how to fight, but he actually taught me how to fight and how to protect myself in all types of situations, not only in the ring, but in the streets. But especially in the ring, you know, he wanted to, you know, just let me know that, hey, you're a young black guy. When you're doing shows in Louisville, Kentucky, or something like that, you know, God forbid someone wants to hurt you, you're going to need to protect yourself in that ring. And that, for that, I'm always grateful. But yeah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And I was able to kind of find myself, you know, once Johnny Rods kind of pulled me to the side and really, you know, helped me break down my background. He knew my background as far as being a West African, you know, heir to the throne of the Ashanti in Kumawu. All right. And he kind of wanted to incorporate that into who I was and make it more real, because he felt I had that kind of light on me. So I took his advice and I kept my own name. And I really knew that I was going to be in this business for a long time when I did Madison Square Garden. When I wrestled at Madison Square Garden and Howard Finkel announced me to the ring, that's when I knew. I was like, okay, this is what I was supposed to do. Because I've been watching these guys since I was five, but now I'm in the ring doing it as a professional in New York City, in Madison Square Garden, and with the WWE, or WWF at the time. That's how I'm doing it.
That's pretty wild. I was actually at that show, January 7th, 2002. I think it was the Triple H return from the quad injury at the time.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and, a so it was you against Crash Holly.
That's right.
I remember Howard Finkel. I believe his delivery was something like Prince Nana, which is the best that I've ever. But take me inside that day, and what was it like to get a match like that after spending part of your upbringing in New York City?
Shout out to my big bro and good friend Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly. Please, I submitted my stuff to him like 50 times or 100 times or something of that nature. And really, really just submitted. And he just one day out of the blue gave me a call. I was at work. I remember I was at this, you know, job that I had. And he gave me a call. He's like, hey, we're going to need you in 2 weeks. Are you going to be prepared for that? Make sure you're here. Make sure you have this. And the rest is history for me.
Wow, that's great. And if you had to, like, give a scouting report of Prince Nana the wrestler, because I think there's a lot of people that know you as, you know, what you are right now and aren't even that familiar with your actual wrestling career. What would you say if you had to kind of scout yourself and what your style was like then?
Oh, Prince Nana's a brawler. He's a brawler, and he was a thrash talker. He was hard-hitting. He could get technical, but he was very, very – he was a heavyweight, but he was one of the best brawlers in the Northeast. You know, he was up there with Homicide, Xavier, and Low-Key. Those are we are the guys that you know, broke the whole independent scene in the 2000s, which ended up birthing, you know – what we know today is Ring of Honor, you know, and you know, it really started in the bosom of New York City, Queens. So, you know, as a scout, I would have scouted myself out the same way that Dave Sapolsky scouted me out, the same way that Kevin Kelly scouted me out, and the same way that, you know, rest in peace to the former owner of 01 Pro Wrestling. What was his name, Yoshihana?
Was that Hashimoto? Shinya Hashimoto.
Rest in peace to Hashimoto, who also brought me to Japan for two events out there. Well, two tours out there.
What is the awareness?
I'm sorry. And I cannot forget. I should have said his name first. and Carrie Silkin, who always believed in me, you know, when he ended up buying Ring of Honor. And then there's another promoter, another two promoters I just want to give credit to, which is Frank Goodman out of the New York area, and then also Jim Kettner from ECWA.
In Delaware, Super 8 Delaware. Guy.
I gotta plug those people. Without saying all of those people, it's not right.
What was the awareness of pro wrestling in Ghana? Did you know of wrestling when you were in Ghana, or did you pick that up kind of naturally when you were in New York?
Well, you gotta understand, I'm an American, right. Meaning that I was here, not an American. I'm born in Africa, all right, but I'm an American, all right. If you get what I'm saying, I've been here since I was a kid. I was a trade student, all right, and basically, pro wrestling came to me through watching it with my pops. And with neighbors that we had, you know, in the area that we ended up coming to in the New York area. So that's how I got into wrestling. But as far as the awareness of pro wrestling in Ghana, it started with me. A lot of people knew who I was when I was wrestling at that time. And then it ended up becoming Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston ended up being a national sensation in Ghana, obviously, once he became the WWE champion, and of course with his long-standing career with the WWE since he was younger. So shout out to Kofi Kingston for continuing to hold it down for Ghanaians across the world, all right? And also just, you know, to all my Ghanaians out there who continue to support professional wrestling and the arts.
And we had him on the show probably last January, I guess it was, around the time that his mother was starting the foundation for bringing some computers and stuff like that for kids.
Yeah, starting a library out there. What a beautiful thing. Shout out to Kofi Kingston and his whole entire family for doing that out in Ghana. I'm hoping to do something like that one day soon.
I was going to say, what's it like being from Ghana, and when was the last time you were there?
It's been a while. But we're doing a return, the Great Return. That's what I'm calling it, the Great Return. I'm going to be going back with quite a few of my friends to go out there and check out the lifestyle again, get myself back in tune with it. But as far as being in tune with the people out there, I'm in tune with them ever since I was young. I'm still friends with a lot of my friends out there. When they travel to the United States, I make sure that they're good. Whenever I have family that goes out to Ghana to, you know, connect with other family, we always make sure that we're, you know, in touch and so on and so forth.
Did you ever think you would be a manager? And what do you think makes you an effective one now?
I did. It was in my mind while I was wrestling, while I was training to be a wrestler, and while I was doing shows and stuff like that. And one of my favorite people was... one of my favorite people was Bobby the Brain Heenan.
So you're a fantastic talker. If you come up with something clever, do you have like a notebook of things you say, or do you just try to be off the cuff, kind of like extemporaneously? Or is it a little bit of combination?
It's a combination of both. It could be more of a... something that I kind of know that's about to happen, or it could end up being something that was actually written to me or given to me in some kind of way, shape, or form.
And for me, like, you're so effortlessly effective. Like, it's like you have subtle movements and comments at ringside and facial expressions and all of that stuff. Are you cognizant of all that as you perform? And like, where do you draw the line? Like, you're great at not overshadowing anybody you're with, but also being you, and it's fantastic. So, like, are you kind of aware of that as you go? Is it just something that comes with being around wrestling as long as you have?
It comes with the territory. I've been doing it for a long time. So at the same time, it's more of a oh man, hold on one second. It's more of a, I think it's from the experience that I've had over the last 20 years that ends up, helping me work in a way where it's improvised, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in the unique position of still being quite young, but having nearly a lifetime for pro wrestling for people to learn from. I was just curious how much feedback you give to other people's matches or their, or you know, even the yeah, even their work outside the ring.
Depends on who the performer is. I have a lot of the younger guys who come to me for advice, and we talk about the business, and I tell them about my experiences in the professional wrestling industry over the last 20 years. But I try not to like push that onto them unless they really want to dig it out of me, because everyone has to experience it in their own type of way, if that makes sense. There's no, you know, grand key or grand way of someone, you know, getting into the wrestling business other than working hard and making sure that your presentation is what it should be, and making sure that you have the network that is there to see the work and hopefully get you a job.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of that earlier with some of the networking that you've done over the course of your career from every step, you know, all the different promoters you mentioned, starting out at Rod's, doing all the different tasks and everything. What kind of goals do you have in the future of the career of Prince Nana?
There's a lot. There's a lot going on. We have the management company. We have the, you know, obviously the music portion of what it is that we do, the film, television, modeling, and also fashion and clothing. So there's so much going on, but right now the focus is the World Championship title at AEW. That's one of our biggest focuses right now. Swerve has been working around the clock in the gym with all of his physical and mental doctors to make sure that he's going into this match with the with the idea that he's had for over the last few years as to becoming one of the biggest and best world champions that we've seen in the last 20 years at a major company known as AEW.
So we're going to move on to something we call the three count now. It's going to be three quick questions and your answers. So first one, who on earth came up with the AEW merchandise idea of a Prince Nana button-up dress shirt?
Oh, man. You know, ever since the success of the Swerve When You Drive and you Swerve When You Drive, the first t-shirt, the success of that shirt, just different fans have been sending things in, and I'm a pretty fashionable person on TV. So, you know, they came up with this idea and with that, and the rest is history. They've just been brainstorming like crazy on, in the background over at the AEW marketing team and AEW shop. Shout out to Chrissy and all of the people that work in the merchandise department of AEW and also of ProWrestlingTees.com.
Very good. Second question, if you could do any other job within pro wrestling, what would you do and why?
Definitely, I would be a scout, talent scout. That's my job. That's what I'm going to be doing in pro wrestling. You know, when I'm older, and that's going to be my career. Of scouting brand new talent for one of the for AEW. You know, hopefully I'll be doing that for. Not hopefully, I will be doing that for AEW. Hopefully soon, really getting some talent in the door that need to be seen on national TV.
That's awesome. And then the last question I had, what, any other songs from musicals that would be also best for adaptation for Prince Nana to do? I feel like there's money on the table there.
That song will come out tomorrow. Do, 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 do. That's one of my favorites, my friend.
That was fantastic. Prince Nana, thank you so much. AEW Dynasty Sunday in St. Louis. Swerve Strickland versus Samoa Joe for the AEW World Championship. So impressed with everything you've done in your career, and it's been so great to see you on TV every week. And thank you so much for the time today.
It's going to be a big one. Make sure you guys pick up the pay-per-view, all right? Follow Prince Nana on X, all right, at Prince King Nana, all right, and big up to the boss, Swerve Strickland, all right, who's going into a huge, huge match, and it's a big undertaking, All right, Samoa Joe is not to be played with. All right, and last but not least, shout out to the whole AEW, country, the whole AEW team, and Tony Khan.
Thank you so. Thank you so much. Thanks again, everyone, for joining me on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. I'd like to thank Prince Nana for joining me today. I'd also like to thank John Schneider of All Elite Wrestling for helping set this up. Follow me on Twitter at Under the Ring for all the latest guest announcements. And join us on the next episode when my guest is Mr. Northeast Wrestling, Brian Anthony. Have a great weekend.